than our guest for today here on World Football Daily. He's ready and waiting on the line. He's a man who I was lucky enough to spend the majority of last Saturday with, and he's been popping up in and around the television screens of the UK as well. He's a man who knows all things about European football and football at home as well in the UK. He's Mr. Andy Brassel, very good friend of the show, joining us here on WFD. Andy, mate, how are you?
I'm very well, and it's a delight to be on.
It's just a shame I can't see your face again, mate. It's been all over the place at the moment. It must be a great time for you with the amount of interest that's been taken in European football over the last few years in general. We've seen the coverage here in the UK and in general explode of the Bundesliga, of Ligue 1, of Italian football as well. It must be a good time to be a European football journalist, mate.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, it's really good. I think you can even see the BBC are just starting a running text service for the big European matches every weekend. It's something they flirted with a little bit towards the end of last season. So I think it's, you know, really exciting that people are getting involved. And I think it's a great time to be a football fan because there's so much opportunity to watch all different football from all over the world. Oh, if it was like that when I was a lad, well, I've got my schoolwork done, it's fair to say.
It's the football fans' heaven right now, and the globalisation of football continues, and that's why we're lucky enough tonight to be able to watch either Bayern Munich take on Borussia Mönchengladbach or Montpellier taking on PSG as Ligue 1 and the Bundesliga get set and underway. With the Bundesliga, the question is, are Bayern going to romp it again, or are Dortmund, as we saw in the Super Cup, are they going to be able to stick with Bayern and cause them problems this season?
I have a sense that Bayern will win it, Ollie, but I do think it will be a lot closer this year. I think Dortmund have signed really well in Mkhitaryan, who's unlikely to play this weekend, but he might be fit for the game against Braunschweig, which is in the second weekend. Then you've got Aubameyang, of course, who I think is going to be absolutely great for them. But I think the most interesting thing that the Super Cup showed is not just that in a mano a mano that they could compete with Bayern, but the fact that they didn't really need to do it with any new starters. You know, Sokratis coming on for a little like run around the pitch at the end. Aubameyang came on for that, creating the fourth goal as a sort of pinch hitter at the end. I did love, I think it was Yanis Mikhailik of ESPN tweeted, Aubameyang would get a ticket on the autobahn. And I thought that's absolutely right. He's quick, but there's a lot more to him as well. He's a skillful guy, and they'll learn that throughout the season. But, you know, I think that shows that A, Dortmund have got great stability. B, Bayern are going to have a few little changes, and, you know, that's part of it. And, you know, managing egos and continuing that incredible success was always going to be a problem for whatever coach, you know, not just Pep Guardiola. So I think there's a little battle to be had, but, you know, it's really hard not to have in the back of your mind how strong Bayern were last season. But I think an interesting point when you talk about that direct competition between Dortmund and Bayern is what Jurgen Klopp said, that, well, you know, we drew with them twice in the league, so we lost those 25 points elsewhere. You know, we did it to ourselves. And, you know, I think that's the sort of brutal self-analysis that you need when you're going to go on and try and compete again. And really, it was, you know, if you look at it as a three-season cycle since they first won the Bundesliga in the Klopp era, you know, they had that year where they retained the title, but they can do anything in the Champions League. They had a year where they couldn't really defend the title because they were doing so much in the Champions League. Now they've got to find a balance between the two, which is a huge challenge, but something that they're definitely up for.
You just spoke about there the stability of Borussia Dortmund, and it's something that Bayern Munich don't have in terms of a new coach coming in, new changes tactically to the side. Some people are saying that there's been a negative impact already with Guardiola joining Bayern Munich. Do you buy this? Do you get the feeling that Guardiola is upsetting the ship slightly, or is this going to be ironed out and all sorted for the start of the season and this early part of the year?
I think there might be a few little hiccups early on, and I certainly wouldn't say that being against Borussia Mönchengladbach is not a possibility, because, of course, the season before last, Mönchengladbach went there the first day of the season and won, much to the embarrassment of Manuel Neuer and Jerome Boateng, who were involved in a bit of a comedy goal by Juan Arango. Obviously not especially funny if you're a Bayern Munich fan. But I think, you know, you have to perspectivize this. And, you know, I think because people are so keen to see how Guardiola would get on, and, you know, you've never seen anything like the speculation over a coach's future as there was with him. You know, people were dying to know about it on a daily basis. And I think if you take that out of the equation, if you just say it's a new coach rather than it's Pep Guardiola, and, you know, I think, firstly, that gives you the truth that there was always going to be a bedding in period. And secondly, you know, what if Heinkes would stay there? If he'd have stayed there, how would it have been possible to follow up this season? You know, footballing success is like happiness. It's not like an inert state that you can nail to the wall and just stare at. It's something that you have to constantly work on. So, you know, just doing nothing to the team, as I've heard people suggest, is completely intellectually dishonest and goes against like how football actually works. It's completely impractical. He had to do something. I tend to think his new ideas, and very challenging new ideas that he has, certainly in terms of like very subtle in terms of setup, but, you know, in the fact that he's very demanding, in the fact that he always wants to improve, because I think Bayern and Barcelona's games aren't 400 million miles apart. You know, they're actually fairly close. I think it's the sort of challenge and stimulus that they'll need after a season like that, that, you know, everyone thinks that you can't possibly better, that because he's lost the Super Cup, people were saying, oh, well, he's already done worse than Heinkes, and, you know, or they may as well give up for the rest of the season then. You know, it's something they need to buzz off. They need something new. They needed to move on. They needed to get rid of Gomez and bring in Goetze. There are a few question marks, and of course, Guardiola's never worked in management outside his own country, so it's a huge challenge for them. But it's not something that is an insurpassable obstacle for him.
Bayern as well, though, is a pretty tough place to be either a player or a manager of, because of there are people off the pitch, former players, and even the players in the current squad at the moment, who are willing to speak out and comment and judge on situations at the club. If it starts going wrong for Pep in any way, shape or form, if it's a slightly shaky start, this pressure could really mount on him early on.
Oh, I think that's true, but I think he knew that when he was going in. I think he went in with his eyes open. And, you know, that is just part of Bayern Munich. You'll always have someone piping up, you know, because there are so many big names, so many personalities, so many egos, as we said before, around the club. So, you know, that's part of him adapting. If we talk about Bayern adapting to Guardiola, he has to adapt to them as well. In fact, that's more important. But that's something he'll be aware of, and, you know, he's aware of the pressure.
Just finally, we'll leave the top two in the Bundesliga. I want to look just below them at Bayer Leverkusen and Schalke. Schalke under Jens Keller had a nice kind of turnaround last season, and a dismal start to the year they had last year. Were able to get themselves back into these Champions League playoff spots at least. And Leverkusen losing Schürrle but keeping hold of Stefan Kiebler. Can either of these two sides now push Dortmund or even possibly Bayern? What are their challenges going to be like this year?
I think it'll be hard. I think for them it's about holding on to the Champions League places, and with sort of negotiating a Champions League campaign as well, presuming Schalke get there. Of course, they've got this playoff against Metalist Kharkiv first. But I think they've both bought fairly well. With Schalke, the important thing was to not do anything stupid. In previous seasons, when they've made the Champions League, they've spent a load of money that they didn't really have. They've not done that. They've bought young players for the future, like Goretzka, like Christian Clemens, which I think is very important, combined with the good team they had at the end of last season, especially. And the fact that it's all going to revolve around Draxler, who's obviously extended his contract, is great for them. I think you look at Leverkusen, and they've lost a little bit of experience, but they've bought very, very well, I think. And of course, the thing is, as well as hanging on to Kiesling, I think the fact that they got rid of Schürrle and replaced him with Son for half the money. Mm. I mean, that's a tremendous deal. And Son has already made his debut. He made his debut in a German Cup match at Lippstadt. He played just half a game, but already he looks fantastic. And, you know, he's someone who can play all across the front three, but he already seems to have nailed a particular place in the Leverkusen team. He's playing on the left, Kiesling in the middle, Sidney Sam, who, well, really has to step up to match those two on the right. So a really interesting sort of 4-3-3 shape. And I think they could provide some really, really good entertainment this season, Leverkusen. They were impressive in Europe as well last season. They were really, really unlucky to go out to Benfica in the last 16 in the Europa League. They, you know, arguably outplayed them in both games. And, you know, we saw from the Europa League final against Chelsea what a good team Benfica are. So I'm relatively optimistic for both of those teams, but in terms of a title challenge, I think it's too much.
Let's switch over to Liga as well. That kicks off this evening with Montpellier against PSG, but Monaco, who obviously came up from Ligue 2 last season, splashing the cash this summer, they kick off against Bordeaux tomorrow. It's a tough start for Monaco back in Liga.
It is, but I think if I was forced to bet my own money, I would bet everything I had on Monaco finishing above Bordeaux this season. Bordeaux are in transition. They've lost another couple of players this summer. Of course, Benoit Tremolinas has moved on to Dynamo Kiev. They're going to be just trudging about in the middle of the table. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Monaco, I know people are saying they're only just promoted. They've got a lot of new players to bed in. But I think there are two things to note. One, those players are of absolutely extraordinary quality in the main. Two, I think when people say about them getting to know each other, well, James, Falcao and Moutinho already know each other because they played to absolutely extraordinary effect under André Villas-Boas at Porto. And also, I think that they've done a really good transfer window because they went out there and they bought the big names to get the attention. Then they bought a couple of experienced old heads like Abidal and Toulalan. And then from there, they went out and got a couple of young guys for the future like Anthony Martial, who they got from Lyon, who I guess will probably not play that much this season, but gradually be bedded in. Nicolas Marin as well, who I think will probably play, you know, about half the games. And, you know, he's someone who can really learn alongside Abidal. So really good opportunity, I think, for them to do well this season and also to grow over the season.
And this was something we discussed actually on the show the other day, the signing of Eric Abidal and Ricardo Carvalho as well. How important, do you see them being as important as these big name signings like Moutinho and Falcao, because they do just help to anchor that defence?
Well, I think defensively getting it right is very important, yes, Ollie. And I think you look at their defence from last season and you sort of think, you know, the only one who's likely to start really is Andrea Raggi, a right back. But I wouldn't be surprised if they brought someone to replace him at some point. I don't think that they're going to start with Carvalho and Abidal, but I don't think the pair of them will play every game this season. I would take Abidal to play more games than Carvalho does. Although we know Carvalho can handle the physical side of the games. He learnt to when he was in the Premier League with Chelsea. Just his fitness record isn't really great in recent seasons. So that would concern me. Like I say, I think Izimat Marin might come in and play more and more. But probably another centre-back would be something they might have to look at when it comes to January. Because, of course, if they don't get it right defensively, it's going to make them really hard for them to challenge at the top half of the table, no matter how good their forwards and midfield are.
Second place in Ligue 1 last season went to Olympique Marseille, Andy. And just finally on Ligue 1, because we are running out of time, I know. It's going to be a side, Marseille, that you might look at and think you're going to miss Joey Barton, possibly. I mean, there's not many teams that have said that, but have Marseille been able to add to this squad? Because especially there was so much talk about the lack of depth in that squad to be able to make a realistic challenge against PSG last season.
Yeah, and I think they know that. That they know that, you know, having just fallen out of the Europa League at the group stage this season, they're hoping to do well in the Champions League. It's going to be more taxing for them mentally and physically. So you know they did need a bigger squad. They've gone out and they've bought players of quality, Gianni Mbula, who I think will be really, really good, the central midfielder from Gangamp. Never played in the top flight before, but played 100 odd games for Gangamp in Ligue 2, and he looks the business. They've got Dimitri Payet, who was the best player at Lille last season, French international, and that they needed that on the wings as well. And also they've got Benjamin Mendy at left back to cover, and they've also got Saber Khalifa, who's just signed from Evian. So a nice bit of depth for them there. I mean, they're all quality players. I wonder if they've almost gone for too much quality, if they, you know, wouldn't have done better to spend less money on more players. So small is their squad. But Barton was good for them last season on the pitch. I don't think there's any doubt about that. It would be nice for them if they could get him back. I don't think the team's going to stop ticking without him. What I thought was interesting is in L'Équipe today, they had the results of a reader survey, of where people would finish this season. And they went for, readers went for PSG 1, Monaco 2, Lyon 2, Monaco 3, and Marseille 4. I do have that half a feeling that competing at home and in Europe could be tricky for Marseille. There's an enormous amount of confidence around the place at the moment. But, you know, when you see them spending this sort of money, you wonder, have they really learnt the lessons of yesteryear? And also, they won a lot of games 1-0 last season, and there was always this feeling that they were kind of flying on the seat of their pants a little bit. A difficult start, and it could be tough for them. I still take them to finish top three, though.
Which one's going to be the more interesting league, the Bundesliga or Liga, Andy? Which one are you going to be focusing your attention on this season?
I think the Bundesliga, because there's more of a doubt over who's going to win it. I think Dortmund can come back really strongly. I think that Monaco can push PSG for a little while, but eventually PSG will pull away. And I think it tells you something about the, you know, relative lack of strength in France, that, you know, we're sitting here talking about Monaco genuinely having a chance of pushing towards that top three and maybe even having a crack at the title.
I'm sure it's going to be two very interesting seasons indeed, irrespective of how interesting the title race is in France and in Germany. Both provide great entertainment on and off the pitch. And Andy, it's a pleasure to have had you on the day of the kickoff in France and Germany to talk all things European continental football, mate.
Real pleasure. Speak soon.
As always, we always appreciate it, and we will catch up with you very soon. Mr. Andy Brassel joining us here on World Football Daily to talk all things French and German football as the seasons get set to get underway. Andy, always a top man to join on the show. It was such a privilege to be able to spend the day with him on Saturday.